Narayana namaskritya narottevam narottamam devim saraswati vyasam titojanyam mudirayat nashta prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, good morning to all devotees. So this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam text is from Canto 1, Chapter 7. We begin with text 19. I'm supposed to go to text 21. So we'll start with text 19. I'll read that Sanskrit three times. And then you may repeat as you wish. Yada sharanam atmanam akshetra shanta vajinam astam bhama shiromene atmatranam tujatmaja. Yada sharanam atmanam akshetra Shanta Vajinam Astam Brahma Shiromene Atmatranam Didatmaja Yadasharanam Atmanam Akshata Shanta Vajinam Astam Brahma Shiromene Atmatranam Didatmaja Hare Krishna. Alright, we do word for word. Yada, when, asharanam, without being alternatively protected, atmanam, his own self, akshata, saw, shanta, shanta, bhajinam, the horses being tired, astram, weapon, brahmashira, the topmost or ultimate nuclear. Mene applied. Atmatranam, just to save himself. Dvija Atmaja, the son of a Brahmana. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. When the son of the Brahmana, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra, nuclear weapon. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In the ultimate issue only, when there is no alternative, the nuclear weapon called the Brahmastra is applied. The word Vijatmaja is significant here because Ashwatthama, although the son of Dronacharya, was not exactly a qualified Brahmana. The most intelligent man is called a Brahmana, and it is not a hereditary title. Ashwatthama was also formally called the Brahma Bandhu, or the friend of a Brahmana. Being a friend of a Brahmana does not mean that one is a Brahmana by qualification. A friend or son of a Brahman, when fully qualified, can be called a Brahman and not otherwise. Since Ashwatthama's decision is immature, he is purposely called herein, the son of a Brahman. Oma ginat virandasya jnana gina shalakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manovistam sapitam jena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Gadati Swapadantikam. Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sita. Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam. Sadvetam Sadavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sita. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate. Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Dapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhan Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Zitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Sivasa Rigora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyari Sitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chusirama Ananda Vidamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chindraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So, the text, the first of three texts that we're going to be reading, the translation is, when the son of a Brahmana, Ashwatthama, saw that his horses were tired, he considered that there was no alternative for protection outside of his using the ultimate weapon, the Brahmastra, nuclear weapon. Hare Krishna. So, this is what happens when things are negative feelings, I should say, are harbored over a period of time. One thing leading to another, no resolution, and then because of wanting to strike back, a person may want to do something uncalled for, negative, immature, and then he gets to a point where he has to face justice. And in this case, Ashwatthama was actually, in a sense, well, not in a sense, he was actually running away. Running from justice is not the best thing. After all, those who are involved in a justice situation will also do something about that. And in this case, Ashwatthama was being pursued by Arjuna. And he saw this, as is explained in this particular text, that his horses were getting tired. They were actually tired, which means he couldn't go much further without being caught up with. So then he considered an alternative. Rather than beg for mercy, give up something more constructive, he still was in a fighting mood to protect himself. And he thought of using the Brahma's weapon, the Brahmastra, which is a nuclear weapon, that can be invoked by mantras that he had learned. So he decided to use it, or to get that particular weapon as a last way of protecting himself by going after Arjuna with the weapon. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the ultimate issue, when there's no alternative, then the nuclear weapon called the Brahmastra is applied. So this is what Ashwatthama did. Ashwatthama was acting anything but brahminical. See, the Prabhupada goes on to describe Ashwatthama a little bit by quality, which isn't much, as far as goodness is concerned. He says, well, Ashwatthama is the son of Dronacharya and Kripi, true enough, but he's not a qualified Brahmana. The most intelligent person is called a Brahman, and it's not a hereditary title. Srila Prabhupada says so many times in lectures, when you're born in a Brahminical family, it doesn't make you a Brahman. Just like if you're born in a family where your father is a judge, then you don't become a judge just because your father is a judge. Or even on the negative side, just because your father may be somebody that steals does not mean that when you're born you're also going to steal. Although, that, of course, the bad reputation comes on the father and therefore it affects the family, but it does not mean the family members are doing the same thing. So it's not inherited like that. So actually, Ashwatthama was called a Brahma Bandhu, the friend of a Brahmana, not a Brahman by qualification. When he was backed in a corner, in a sense, because his horses were tired as he was running away from justice, then he made this immature decision. Srila Prabhupada says here also, since Ashwatthama's decision is immature, he is not called a Brahman, because Brahmans make intelligent decisions. And Ashwatthama did not make an intelligent decision. He's not a Brahman by qualification. He's just the son of a Brahman, Dronacharya. So many people, when they're backed into a corner and the ego is still high, they don't want to give up. And in not wanting to give up, then they may make irrational decisions. In fact, Maya supplies irrational decisions. Even Maya is always tempting. You put it out there, Maya does not force people to make decisions, but it will put a decision there. Good one is there from the intelligence, and a bad one is there from temptation, to try to get things done according to what the person themselves want to do, which means they want to exercise their ego. So ego, or the false ego, is part of this. Making irrational decisions is part of this. Temptation is part of this. All of those are running, you know, connected with Ashwatthama's decision. So the question is, when we're backed in the corner, what kind of decision do we make? We may be reading about Ashwatthama, but situations sometimes happen to us too. Maybe not as life-threatening, or maybe not a situation where we've caused the extent of damage or problems that Ashwatthama caused. He took people's lives. He took the lives of Draupadi's 5 sons when they were sleeping. He got back at Drishtadyumna for killing his father. He did all of those things not according to the Kshatriya code. All of them were wrong. So Maya can suggest things in situations where no alternative is felt. No other alternative that makes sense, or that is good, or that ends a situation properly or positively, is felt or is around. And when a person feels that way, sometimes that's when they get tempted to make bad decisions. You go to a certain place, you look at them, then we care. I mean, from talking with them, sometimes you care that if you want to open up, they tell you, I was at this place and I did not feel welcome. Yesterday was Sunday program. We heard it from 2 devotees, one of them a visitor, saying the same thing that he'd gone to, and because they were a different race, so the body was different, they weren't welcomed. Now, they weren't talking about it in ISKCON temple, fortunately, but still, they made that comment to tell us, those of us in the Harrisburg temple, that they felt very much welcome when they came here. But that is something for every temple to actually do, especially temples that are small enough that you can notice new people when they come in, or when the person that's making announcements asks for new people to identify themselves and make them welcome. This is a very, very important thing, because it goes to the heart of the visitor immediately, that they were made to feel welcome. In some places, obviously, there's room for the kind of management where there is a person whose responsibility it is to welcome new people, which is, if that's said, that's wonderful, but it's not in every temple. Still, this is how our society that Srila Prabhupada worked so hard for grows, by new people coming in and the new people being welcomed nicely. Now, so, in this case, Ashwatthama is backed in the corner. Well, let me just say one more thing about the being, you know, welcoming new people. If they don't feel welcome, there's a chance that they will not return. And if you don't return, then there's a wonderful situation of going back to Godhead that's been checked. So it's that serious. So sometimes a person may say, okay, I wasn't welcome, so I'd leave. Sometimes that decision itself is not rational, because if they hear much about the gospel, or what not the gospel necessarily, we talk about the Shastra, the scriptures. So, when they hear about that, they will know that there's so much there. Wisdom is there from Srila Prabhupada's purpose, from what Krishna says, from Krishna's pure devotees are saying. So that's there, and hopefully that would also make people begin to think. Now, we're talking about some things that I myself experienced too. When I came to Krishna consciousness first, there were some things that happened that made me consider, should I really stay here? And it came to a point where I had to decide, but what I'm hearing from the scriptures in this place that I've come to is higher than anything I've heard. Okay, can I really walk away from it? It was a good decision. It was a very important decision to make. And fortunately, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, the decision was made, I'll stay. But it was also a heads up, from one of the devotees there, and also the Guru at the time, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, was preaching, that made me decide that I should really stay. I should really come back. This is, things that happened, it's temporary to overlook it. Other things happened, but still, there was so much to learn from Krishna consciousness that, by the mercy of my Guru, I actually did stay, and I could never regret having stayed. So it does happen when people get back in the corner, but the decision they make is a critical one then. People normally would make a decision based on the need to survive. Okay, Ashwatthama was trying to survive. Whether he had done something bad, something good, obviously we knew he had done something bad. He was fighting against Dharma anyway. He wasn't fighting he wasn't on the proper side of the war. But that's the whole story. We can talk about Bhishma that way also. But Krishna's plans were definitely going on in the Kurukshetra war. Ashwatthama has put himself in a situation where now he's causing more trouble after the war, and now he's trying to survive by going on an attack with the Brahmastra, because he knows how to chant mantras to activate that particular weapon. And his thought is, okay, then if I just get rid of Arjun that way with the weapon, then I can get away from this. Even if my horses can't help me to run away. So it was the need to survive, to get away from potential trouble that was going to happen to him, because Ashwatthama now sees himself as a victim. They are coming for me. So the antidote is on us, we're talking about temples now, not to make people feel that they are victims. It all depends on how we relate to them. Now, at this point, I'd like to go to the next text, which is Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 20. I don't know whether it can be pulled up, but if you can't, I can read it myself, because I have it open also. Okay, so I'll read it then. Ato papisya salinam sandade tatsamahita ajanan api samharam prana krishra upastite. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he did not know how to withdraw such weapons. This is a short purport given by Srila Prabhupada. The subtle forms of material activities are finer than grosser methods of material manipulation. Such subtle forms of material activities are effected through purification of sound. The same method is adopted here by chanting hymns to act as nuclear weapons. So Srila Prabhupada is describing that Ashwatthama knew that his life was in danger, and as we said earlier, he was trying to protect himself. He felt this time he would be the victim. And so he called upon the Brahmastra by the chanting of the proper or the appropriate hymns for it. And Srila Prabhupada talked about, you know, it's not everything that's mechanical these days. The nuclear weapons that some countries, so-called advanced countries, materially have stockpiled. And obviously that's that, no hymns inject those. They just use mechanical means, to activate those particular weapons. So Srila Prabhupada is making a distinction here that the subtle forms of material activities are finer than the grosser methods which are being used now. And purification of sound can in fact be used here, be used in different situations, and this one Ashwatthama used. Still, Ashwatthama was acting irresponsibly. He knew what he had done wrong prior to being chased like that by Arjuna. So Ashwatthama was irresponsible, but Ashwatthama did not care about the consequences because Ashwatthama knew he could throw the Brahmastra weapon, but he couldn't take it back if it was needed. Another thing that about him that's very negative. So the caring was not there. He was a Kshatriya, but the Kshatriya even fights different based on different codes. He had violated practically all of them. He had acted really irresponsibly and like a coward, you know, fighting other Kshatriyas at night, not fighting them, even killing them at night, when they were unarmed and not being aware that he was around. So, these things are horrible, true enough, when a person does them. But every time we are also being challenged in different ways based on what we experience. Devotees go through challenges. The challenges are actually put forth with the devotee having to have the understanding that this is for my growth. I remember so many times when I was living at Girinagri, I would go to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj with something that disturbs me, go offer obeisance to him and bring it up to him, and he can realize the point that I'm making. But many times he told me, this is for your growth. It's for your growth. It was so many times, sometimes we discussed with other devotees that had also gone to make some complaints, and they had gotten the same response. This is for your growth. Now, at the time, we couldn't see it that way at all. But when you look back at it now, it actually is sometimes the situations that happen that are challenging that causes us to mature. But we wouldn't like to accept it because when it's happening, it's not funny. But actually, those kind of things are the ones that cause us to mature. If everything was going on wonderfully, we'd be very happy. But that's not the situation in the material world. That's the spiritual world that happens like that. Here, Srila Prabhupada gave one example to explain the duality in the material world. He said when normally people pray, they pray for good things to happen. They pray for protection, they pray for things that they would rather see in their lives occur. Sometimes even extended situations when pray for family members, especially when somebody is sick and the heart goes out there to hope that the person recovers. So that's there. Now, this world has trouble and it also has happiness. Some measure of trouble, some measure of happiness. Nobody prays for trouble. Not usually. But then trouble happens in people's lives. So Srila Prabhupada says, why? Why has a person not prayed for trouble, but trouble has happened in their lives anyway? One, there's lessons to be learned from it. And two, there's a reminder that this is not our home. This is not the place designed for us to be happy. The spiritual world has plenty of that. The soul is Satchidananda, and Ananda is bliss. In a blissful situation, the soul is home. That's where bliss is. And that's why we learn from the negative things that happen. So that the maturity and even sometimes the botheration would make us more determined to go home, to go back to Godhead. There was another lecture not too long ago. It was questions time, and one devotee said, actually, I've searched my own mind, and I realized, I know we've been told, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shware, Bhavatar, Bhakti, Ahoitki, Tvai, life after life after life, I would like to continue devotional service from my heart towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Lord's devotees. He said, it's wonderful. Birth after birth means, well, birth after birth is something that happens in the material world, right? So even when I'm here, as Lord Chaitanya is explaining, then I should just keep serving devotionally. Keep serving devotionally. That's what brings us happiness, actually. But he said, to tell you the truth, I'm tired of this material world. So is it a good idea to look towards going back to the spiritual world, even though we're hearing that birth after birth means being born in the material world? So I didn't answer the question. Actually, I was the one that was speaking, so the question was posed to me. And I said a quick prayer in my mind, and then, let's put it this way. I said, actually, he brought up another point. He says, Ahoy tikiya apratiyata. There should be no motivation. He says, but this is a motivation because I want to go back to Godhead. So that's my motivation, and that there's not supposed to be motivation in spiritual life and in service. And I said, well, look at it this way. At least it's a spiritual motivation. It's not a material motivation. Because you're looking, wanting to go home. Well, Srila Prabhupada came to get us to try to go home. The magazine that Srila Prabhupada was distributing, that still is being distributed today, is called Going Back to Godhead. And finally, His Holiness Chandramali Swami also made the statement that, yes, devotees should work as diligently as they can in devotional service while they're here. But to aspire to go back to the spiritual world is also good. It's also good. So if there are people who are tired, speaking about tiredness, also in Bhagavatam, there's a discussion about that Srila Prabhupada talks about wonderfully in the purport. That tiredness is not a bad idea. Because Jnana Maharaj said in a lecture that Krishna has designed the material world for us to, after a while, be tired of it. Be tired of it. Devotees can give us bliss when we are around them. The sadhusanga and the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is wonderful. But, well, that is important from the spiritual world. That's what we're going to be doing even more of when we go back to the spiritual world. With better facilities to do that. And not a limited physical body that can do up to a point, and then after a while you can't, especially when you're getting older, you see that there are limitations to how far you can go with using the body. But in the spiritual world, you definitely can go on with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is in fact imported from the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the conclusion is to aspire to go back to Godhead? Not a bad idea at all. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 21, 321.21. If you read that and you read the second paragraph of the purport, it's actually three paragraphs, so right in the middle paragraph. Srila Prabhupada says, and I'll just paraphrase it. Srila Prabhupada said, Those who are tired of the material world, that kind of consciousness, devotees who are tired of the material world, mentally, they are already liberated because they don't want to be here. Getting out of the material world is also another definition of liberation. A liberated person will physically, and the soul will leave. Physically, the life would stop. It's called death. And the soul would leave. But once we get disconnected from material activities here, mentally you go, well, I'll do whatever I have to do, but I don't like it here. Which was the point that my godfather was making. I don't like it here. So Prabhupada says that means you have a mentality of liberation. Because, one, you're not a non-devotee, you are a devotee. You know what devotees do in order to get out of here. We've been taught by Guru and Gauranga, the chanting, the hearing, and the other seven methods. He's doing it. He's not saying stop. He said he's doing it, but he's just tired of being here. So that is our way also of being more determined to go. But then there's a mercy factor that devotees are required to be about by Lord Chaitanya and by Krishna and by Guru. And that is, don't think of yourself alone as the one to go. Get as many people involved in also getting their path, getting onto the path for going back to Godhead. That is also on us to do. Show the mercy that way. And if we show the mercy, then the Lord will be even happier with us. Now let's read the last one's text 21. I was supposed to read that also. I'll go straight to the translation. Thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. That's 121. Okay. So, thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger. And so he began to address Lord Sri Krishna. It's a very important statement here. And there's no purport to this. Thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger. And so he began to address Lord Sri Krishna. Now, this is what's not mentioned, but the implication here is that Ashwatthama chanted the mantras for the Brahmastra, and then when the Brahmastra became released, then the effect of it is what's being described here. Glaring light spread in all directions. It's a very fierce, glaring light that Arjuna thought that his own life was in danger. He was with Krishna, so he began to address Krishna. So now we can see what Ashwatthama has done and what Arjuna also did. Comparing and contrasting. So, there's a situation that one, Ashwatthama feels like he's going to be a victim because he's being chased. And now there's a situation that Arjuna feels that he's going to be a victim because of the Brahmastra and what's happened. What happens in a situation like this? Arjuna's thoughts versus Ashwatthama's thoughts. Ashwatthama was acting in a demonic way. When a demon is approached, for the demonic approach for here, not when the demon is approached, but when a demon is faced with a situation like this, that it could be victimized, backed in a corner, what does a demon do? What Ashwatthama did. I'll use my own intelligence to try to protect myself. What's a devotee approach? When the devotee is backed in a corner, that's what Arjuna did. I will appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through the agency of, for us, through the agency of Guru. Actually, Krishna was his Guru. He sent out the whole Bhagavad Gita to him. So, Krishna was in fact playing the role of Guru for Arjuna also. So when a demon gets back in the corner, they're going to use whatever they can to protect themselves. When a devotee gets back to the corner, he'll say, I will appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to guide me through this situation and offer the needed protection. And that is a devotee's thought. So that's why this particular text is also quite important. Arjuna saw that now there were problems. A glaring light, and it was so fierce, Arjuna thought, maybe I'll be killed too. So then he turned to Krishna. So when we are in situations as devotees, situations that are difficult, we definitely should turn to Krishna, especially as Lord Nrisimhadev. Protection comes through Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev will always protect his devotee, and by the mercy of Guru, we are also connected with the system, and therefore we should remember to call on the Lord. There may be something physical we'll have to do, but when we call on the Lord first, pure devotees do that. They call on the Lord first. The pure devotees always do that when the situation like that happens. They turn to Krishna. And the best situation for protection will happen once a person turns to Krishna. And so we have to remember that through the agency of Guru, Dev Gurudev, Dev Lord Guranga, the situation has happened. You are, in fact, our greatest protector. You have asked us to be dependent on you and surrender to you. I'm a soul that's trying to learn how to surrender. But this situation is a situation that's over my head. Please help me. Something to that effect. Or you can chant the Srinadev prayer. Namaste Narasimhaya. We have the standard prayers also. And the standard prayers are extremely important for us, because that prayers set by devotees who are in complete purity. And so when we learn it, then there's the intention. Krishna knows there's the intention to use that prayer to appeal to the Supreme Personality of God, a prayer that's been set by a pure devotee. So even if we are not pure, still if we're praying with the prayers that are set by a pure devotee, that is very, very, very effective. But Krishna knows our hearts. The important thing is, when a devotee is back in the corner, he should turn to Guru and Guranga. Oh Lord Nrisimhadev. Rather than think about, I'll just use my own intelligence to see what I can do first. Yeah, the prayer should be to Guru first, always. And then the actions can come by the Lord that's helping us through our intelligence. The last point that I wanted to make is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And he had 64 principles for running a spiritual community. And principle number seven, what it says is, become united with one purpose and serve Hari. So before we talk about this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj came up with the 64 principles in order for us to understand how to operate, how to relate to each other in community. The spiritual world is one big community. Everybody knows everybody. Become united with one purpose and serve Lord Hari. If we put Krishna, so this is how it connects us, if we put Krishna at the center of everything that we do, even when we're in danger, we can form a great sense of unity among devotees in spite of the differences that are there. The differences can be used now to enhance the bhakti rather than you say, oh, this is different from me, and therefore then they have sometimes people form cliques and say, well, we are based on this, based on our upbringing, and therefore we are these kind of people, and then we do this like that. Our culture is this way. The culture that's important is the Krishna culture. That's all. So if we put Krishna in the center, then in spite of our differences, we can still have a great sense of unity. Sometimes, you know, family, we have children, and we have differences, and it may cause problems because of differences. But one thing is there. They have the same parents. If they really care for their parents, sometimes the love for their parents may be the good reason why the children will find a way to reconcile the differences. So, as Srila Prabhupada said, and Srila Prabhupada's disciple repeated that he had told them before he left that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. Love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. In other words, if we want to tell Srila Prabhupada, yes, Guru Maharaj or Param Guru, depending on whether you're first or second generation, we will cooperate with each other because that's what you would want us to do. You would want us to do. So we can reconcile differences like that and then come together, then the society will be stronger and stronger and stronger. One way, and one of the most powerful ways to achieve a goal of being together in the Vaishnava community is to see all our activities as offerings to Krishna. Whatever we're doing, when a person is washing dishes, they should think, this is Krishna's dishes. So this is for the devotees. People sweeping the floor of the temple, offering the aarti, dressing the deities, painting the temple, all kinds of work that's been done. Everybody should see everybody's service as offerings to the Lord. That is the common thread that binds everyone. We are all serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as devotees perform the individual services and offering them to the deity, we can better appreciate the service of other devotees who are also focusing on serving the deity. Serving the deity does not mean you have to be a pujari directly, you know, serving the deity like that, but everything that involves the temple activities are important. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm a pujari, you just sweep here, therefore, you're just a bhaktin or a bhakta, just come. And the maya says, yeah, he's just a bhaktin or she just, like that, she's just a bhaktin. He's just a bhakta. Yeah, that's so important. There's so many things you don't know. Well, it's a very dangerous way to think. Why? Because when Nimai was born in Navadvipa, he didn't know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not know. Those in Navadvipa did not know. Advaita Acharya called for him to come, but when he came, he didn't introduce himself to Advaita Acharya, not even him. Nobody knew. The handsome, intelligent young boy at that time, he was called Nimai. So imagine offending him. That would be offending the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they don't know. So really, even people who come to the back door of a thing, you don't really know their background coming in. That's why you gotta be careful. All of us have to be careful how we relate to each other. But the important thing is, teamship should always be there. We have to create a great sense of teamship. Temples that have a strong and powerful devotional mood focused on the deity, their relationship, the sadhu consciousness and guru consciousness is very good and it's very high. And so that's what we should be aiming for. And the individual services that are offered in the temple, everyone should appreciate, no matter how menial it is, appreciate it. It's because it's service for the satisfaction and pleasure of the divine couple, Radha Krishna, it is important. It's for their pleasure, so it's important. No matter what I'm doing, or somebody else is doing, I should never feel that mine is better than that. There is no better anything. Service is all from the heart. And so that's how Krishna sees it. So Prabhupada explained it. This is how Krishna sees it. And so we all should be appreciative of each other, and we should all work together and be very careful not to be offensive, even if we think that we're dealing with a backdoor or back thing. In that way, then we can protect our own devotional creeper. Now, I want to go on, but I think I'm just getting a prompt that maybe I should stop here and open up for questions. Okay, and then we'll see, because there's some other things I want to talk about. But if devotees have questions, so far we've talked a lot more about, we talked about Ashwatthama's situation being backed into a corner, and he made a very bad decision, because he was still trying to be vindictive. He was still annoyed. His father had died by unfair means and so on. And so he wanted to get at Pandavas. And he applied a Brahmastra, which is very devastating. When a devotee is in a situation when they're backed in the corner and they're feeling that way, they should appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of Guru. And that we all should work together, because it's for the pleasure and assistance, service to the divine couple. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Hare Krishna. Jai. Step on the basin, says Christ. Good day, Srila Prabhupada. You brought some points that are quite important, and the first point, though, that we'd like to bring out is that devotees won't necessarily agree all of the time. Okay, that's just, you might as well just understand that. And that's something we're going to have to live with. So, actually, it touches on the things that I wanted to talk about later if nobody wants to ask a question right there. But you brought up this, and this is tolerance. But tolerance is one section of it. The other section of it, the other part of it, is to appreciate who devotees are in the first place. Sometimes we forget who we are. Who is a devotee? A devotee is the one that, if pure, is surrendered fully to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if not pure, is trying to learn to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you tell me there's somebody else like that anywhere else that calls himself a devotee. If we forget to appreciate who we are, that's where we make the most mistakes. That's the biggest problem. Just another human being. Yeah, they frail. They did this to me. I'm going to do back to them. But well, then you're acting like Ashwatthama. Then back in the corner, and I'm going to do this to you to get back at you because you did this to me, or you're trying to do this to me. You're trying to hurt me. That we've forgotten the gift that Srila Prabhupada turned our minds into becoming devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are living by the regulative principles. You try to tell a comic to live by the principles, they probably laugh at you at best. You mean I should stop eating meat? I should stop gambling? I should stop even, you know, relating to my own spouse if we don't want children sexually? What are you telling me? But devotees go through this. And the goal is there. So a devotee is not like the rest of human beings. And therefore, the appreciation, if the appreciation level is high, then every time we disagree on any point, how we handle it would be in such that we don't offend that devotee we're dealing with. And when that is at the back of the minds of the devotees who are talking, even if they disagree at that point, there will always be some resolution. But the important thing is, the resolution should happen such that at the end of it, that those devotees are not at each other's necks. That the society can still go on in a positive way. That the community can go on in a positive way. Sometimes things can happen that are quite hurtful. But still, our intelligence is there. And when we access our intelligence through prayer, short prayers, always connecting, always chanting, always connecting with the Holy Name, and realize that devotees are the ones that are doing what we do, other devotees do, chanting the Holy Name, therefore we are really of one spiritual community, and we need to appreciate each other, because we are the, even though some of us may not be pure, we're still the ambassadors that spread the Holy Name. The Holy Name is given to us. We're spreading it around the world. So we have an important, very, very important function. And if we don't cooperate and we fall apart into different sections, the rest of the world is not going to benefit from what Srila Prabhupada said to do. So that's a higher reason that we should have at the back of our minds in every situation that we face. And Krishna, finally, Krishna is watching everything that we do. The Lord is in the heart. When we're right, we know. When we're wrong, we know. When we do things intentionally to hurt other people, we know. But there is consequence for all these things, good and bad. Consequences are there. So, do we want to go back to Godhead, or do we want another life here? That's also another thought. So we all of that, we shouldn't really sabotage our own selves. When we worry other people, when we offend other people, we are sabotaging our own selves too, apart from the fact that we make them uncomfortable. So it boils down to appreciation of who a devotee is, and tolerance, so that you can just walk through, or sometimes it takes somebody else helping, walk through the situation that has brought about some disturbance or misunderstanding between two devotees, so that it ends and ends well. At the very least, you shouldn't be the one who caused the problem. Try to get others to come to the mode of goodness level, to acting passionately or even ignorantly. Hare Krishna. So don't attach your hand yourself in our situation. Yes, and for us, the person that is going to be central to this is the spiritual master. The person that's going to be central to this is the spiritual master. In other words, you asked is if Krishna, can we put ourselves in a situation where Krishna can trust us? Well, let's put ourselves in a situation when Guru can trust us first. The one that we're dealing with directly. If he trusts us, you're fine. If you act in such a way the Guru can say, yes, this person is reliable, that if I want this and this is done and I ask him, I know it's going to get done, or a very decent, positive attempt is going to be made to do that. The intention will be good. This person's intention is always good. Then the Guru can trust, and the Guru can trust. Guru is the representative of Krishna. Krishna said our Guruship. And so if Guru trusts, then you don't have to worry that the Krishna is trusting. The trust will be there from Krishna also. So very much, very, very, very much depends on how we relate to Guru, and for that matter to the devotees. The devotees trust us too. You can go out quite far in relating to devotees when you have good trust, when you're trustworthy to them too. Yes. Krishna in the center for everything is critical to our lives, and that's why Rupa Goswami says, always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. We do that and also accept all things favorable to devotional service and reject things that are not favorable to devotional service. Then once we do that, those two sets of statements in our minds and everything that we do, then, of course, Krishna will be central in our lives, and so we will turn to him in different situations. Very important. Hare Krishna. Any more comments, questions? Oh, Ram Sham Prabhu? I see your hand is up. Hare Krishna. Jai Guru Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, it means we do the material, but we're not attached to it. Yeah, we do. That means we do as necessary. Yeah, only as necessary. Only as necessary. Very, very important points that you brought up. Yeah, the guru and disciple relationship and learning, the learning process is all, well, as you know, the Avadhut Brahman, you learn from 24 gurus, and some of them were not even in human bodies. So much can be learned in the 11th canto in Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam. So much can be learned. Take, I think it's chapter, start end of chapter 7, it goes to chapter 8 and then 9. So much can be learned, yeah. Krishna's mercy. I just share what I read, but it is. We all benefit from it only because Śrīla Prabhupāda has made the purpose that powerful. And so, and then Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Mahārāja, his guru. Today we're talking about the unity. Very important. One purpose of serving Hari, Lord Hari. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Takeaway? Okay. So, I'd like to thank all of you who give me the opportunity to do the service. We all learn by discussing about the Lord with each other and things to do to make our devotion better day by day. The Sangha is important. Please, please, please relate nicely to each other so we can have a wonderful situation just like it is in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai.